joined now by Matt Forreis from Landmark Legal Foundation. Matt, the new special counsel report comes out. It's I mentioned a little bit earlier. This isn't something that just news junkies and political activists are talking about. This is resonating across the country because it's pointing out that Joe Biden would present himself to a jury as an elderly man with memory problems, basically very frail. At his sort of hastily called press conference last night, I want to get your reaction to this. Here's part of the claim that President Biden made in response to that report.
I did not want to be in a position that they looked at Trump and weren't going to look at me, just like they looked at the vice president. And the fact is, they made a firm conclusion. I did not break the law, period.
That doesn't seem to jive up with what the assessment of the special counsel report is saying otherwise. What's your take on it?
Yeah, that's correct. Basically, they lay out a reason why they declined to prosecute. It's not like a complete exoneration like he claimed last night. So the special counsel declined to charge President Biden, and it went out of its way to present him as a sympathetic figure, someone who sees himself as the center of major events, wanted to keep a record of his involvement in those events for his memoirs. But there are a lot of damning details in that report that are hard to gloss over.
Good morning, Matt. Gabe Pfeiffer here. So what are, you know, a couple of those details that we can glom onto?
Yeah, because that's where it is. The talking points in the spin war happens now. So that's the right question, Gabe. Yeah.
Sure. Well, it does say, as you mentioned, he willfully retained and disclosed classified materials. And as you go through the report, he had very lax security standards for storage of his documents. And one of the reasons why they declined to prosecute, they go into a bunch of the aggravating factors. A minor one for them, but it's so interesting to Americans, is like he was hanging on to these documents, probably to be bolstering his reputation before a run for president. And that's just not enough to justify presenting serious risks to national security. So ultimately, the special counsel, Robert Hur, decided he was not going to charge him just because he would be a sympathetic figure to a jury. But so much of it is talks about his memory lapses that as American citizens, we read it and we think, wow, that is not who we want to be running the country in a state of turmoil right now.
Yeah, and Matt, let me follow up on what you just said regarding Robert Hur and his, conclusion that he's not going to prosecute, which is different than whether or not he may have actually violated the rules of the executive or the law itself. When they say he was willfully doing this, essentially, they're at no point did they say, well, it wasn't a good idea, but he didn't break the laws. They're saying, no, there's evidence that he actually broke the rules and possibly the law, but we're not going to prosecute out of judicial, I guess, discretion or prosecutorial discretion in this case. And so that's sort of muddy ground that I want to clear up. They're not saying he didn't break the law. They're just saying that they're not going to go for prosecution on this because he was a private citizen at the time.
Right. So they went into analyze the reasons he declined to charge him. And some of them were, well, the documents were really old and there really wasn't that huge volume of documents. But, you know, for an average citizen, if you are working in the military or intelligence, these would be serious charges that could be brought against you.
Matt, it's not just sorry. The fact that
it's not just the fact that it's the volume. For an average person, this would have been very troubling to have to explain. But ultimately, they see him as a sympathetic figure. And the most damning part of it I have to return to is they just keep coming back to his faulty memory.
Matt, during his bit troubled press conference, we'll say, he constantly threw his staff under the bus. Like, my staff did this, my staff did that, and if I had known, I wouldn't, you know, and that was, at the very least, one of his primary go-to excuses for what was found in the special counsel's report. Does that hold any water?
Well, it holds water to the extent that we don't expect the president to be personally putting documents in the box. Right. As he's moving out of an official residence, as the vice president moving to become a private citizen. The thing you have to remember is you should give that kind of deference to President Trump as well, right? He gets himself in the hot water, and they're talking about how his storage of documents was borderline, you know, a problem. But ultimately, figures like that, they are being helped by staff to make a transition out of official residence.
What do we know about the actual laws and the rules that say these are classified documents? When you return to the private sector, they don't belong to you. I mean, and this would apply with the Biden case and with the Trump case as well, because and Mike Pence ended up with some as well. Once all this turns out, all this broke. I mean, the bottom line is that what is it that remains the under the purview of the government of the White House that you're where does that line come between you can take this and you're not supposed to take this?
Well, it is a gray line. And let's remember, as they are keeping a diary of what's occurred as an official, they're going to take notes about discussions they've had with leaders and policy events that occurred in their tenure. So in his defense, this can be something that's hard to really pinpoint. In this case, though, I just have to return to the fact that he was hanging on to documents. He had documents that had been from his time in the Senate going back decades. And he was discussing events that occurred while military officials had been present to his ghostwriter. And as the special report, the special counsel notes in his report, he should have known that there was classified material in those notes that he was divulging to his ghostwriter.
Got it. All right. So we're visiting with Matt Forries from Landmark Legal Foundation. Real quick as well, the hearing at the U.S. Supreme Court regarding Donald Trump's place on the ballot in Colorado trying to remove him. There's no question, even mainstream and even leftist media saying, boy, those justices did not sound convinced by Colorado's argument. I don't know how much of the arguments you were able to review, but it looks like the Supreme Court had a real big constitutional issue with what Colorado and Maine and Hawaii and some other states are trying to do.
That's correct. So I did listen to the oral arguments, and it was really fascinating. And the bottom line is that it went very well for Trump. Several liberal and conservative justices raised concerns about the consequences first, about removing him from the ballot in Colorado. There are four big consequences that they harped on. First, the potential disenfranchisement of millions of voters, the empowering of a single state to determine a national election, the likelihood that blue and red states could go tit for tat and disqualify each other's candidates, and then finally, the haphazard nature of having states coming up with different standards of evidence and proof in their disqualification trials. But these consequences came after they wrestled with the basically three big legal issues that I can summarize really quick if you'd like.
Yeah, please.
Okay. So the text of the 14th Amendment, there's Section 3. The question is whether or not it applied to Trump. And then secondly, whether that text allows the states to act to disqualify Trump as opposed to Congress. And then finally, whether or not an insurrection occurred. And I can break those down for you.
Yeah, we've got a couple minutes that we could do here.
Okay. So the first issue, whether Trump was disqualified by Section 3, remember, of the 14th Amendment. Now, recall that that's an amendment passed in the wake of the Civil War, and that was to prevent insurrectionist, you know, Confederates from holding many public offices. And if you look at the text, what it boils down to is if you previously took an oath to support the Constitution as an officer of the United States and then engaged in insurrection, then as a consequence, you can't be a member of Congress or hold any office under the United States or under any state. So when you break that down, it basically applies to someone who took an oath as an officer of the United States. There's recent Supreme Court precedent that officer of the United States refers to appointed and not elected officials. And there's also a textual argument that comes from other places in the Constitution where the phrase officer of the United States, where it does not apply to the president. Okay, so there's the Constitution's commission clause, for instance. That's where the president will commission officers in the military. So it doesn't make sense to say that the president is an officer under the Constitution. And
right.
So the president is not explicitly mentioned as being a covered official. And a big surprise, by the way, was one of the liberal justices, Ketanji Brown Jackson, seemed to agree that the text did not apply to Trump.
Yeah, and then we don't get a lot of cases where it seemed to be widespread skepticism of something across the ideological spectrum. And I've learned over the years, never try to predict what the Supreme Court is going to do, but it certainly did not look like Colorado made their case to the Supreme Court. And like you said, I think that, you know, Donald Trump in this case probably, you know, is one step closer to being reinstated on all of those ballots. All right. Matt Forries from Landmark Legal Foundation. What's the way to get in touch or watch what you all do online, social media?
LandmarkLegal.org. And we've got a lot of explanation about all the Trump arguments in the Colorado case.
All right, great. Matt, have a great weekend. Appreciate you being on the program.
For podcast articles and more, find us on NewsTalkSTL.com.